Good morning. Jared and I are going to talk to you really about two different projects. The first one, I'm going to just share very briefly the outcome. And we have some copies of an article that was written that describes that project in more depth. Jared has a few copies with him if you want a copy today, or I put it online with APHA. I don't know if people will be able to access it. I don't know how that works.
The slides will be available, but I'm not really sure.
It said you could have handouts. So anyways, it's there. And he also has a few copies of the PowerPoint if you want that. So the first grant that I'm going to talk about was actually to really look at an e-therapy drug and alcohol treatment program called Deaf Off Drugs and Alcohol and compare it with two specialized treatment programs for deaf people, meaning that all the staff are fluent in sign language or deaf and only serve deaf people. One is in Minnesota, one was in Awakenings. We wanted to see if there was a difference between providing online treatment using video phones, which is a way to have visual contact with another person, or using web conferencing software, so everything would be visual with the counselor that you're meeting with, but not in person, versus specialized treatment that was all done in person. And some of the outcome measures we used, we didn't validate. We just signed several different instruments, which I have listed. Substance Abuse Screener in American Sign Language, which has been validated. It's based on the SASE that some of you may be familiar with, and that's available for use if people want information. I can give you that. The audit, the DAST, Satisfaction with Life, Rosenberg Self-Esteem Scale, the Beck Depression Inventory. We used just several for that first phase. The second part of what I'm going to talk about briefly today is validation of those instruments plus several others. And then lastly, Jared is our software guru. Everyone needs a techie person. We could not do what we do without him. And he's going to talk about some of the process that have been involved with developing this to make it accessible so that we can have everything done online through web-based software. So just very briefly, what really started this was having an online grant to primarily provide service to people in the state of Ohio that were deaf using electronic means. We then wanted to take that to the next level and see if there was a difference between providing electronic service to deaf people and live treatment. And by the way, you still can go to the link that I've listed. There are accessible 12-step meetings available using web conferencing software, and there's also some daily meditation and thoughts in ASL, so a person could go online every day of the year and have something provided in ASL to them. So we carried it to the next level, as I mentioned, with the field-initiated grant. That's the one that looked at live versus online treatment. And then currently we have a 5-year grant through NIDLR, I have to get used to saying that, that's really validating a suite of web-based assessments. And I'm going to spend the majority of my few minutes talking about that today. I'm going to just skip over this because I've sort of talked about what the goal was. And if we move down to the third bullet point, basically what we did is we looked at intake and follow-up 6 months after treatment between the people who were receiving the online services versus the specialized. And we used the Minnesota Chemical Dependency Program, and we used Awakenings. So one is in Minnesota, one is in California. And we had a good N for the specialized services of 87, but unfortunately, the number that we had for the services that were online, because they could only be based on people that were in Ohio receiving services from clinicians in Ohio, was very small. It was only 8. So we really weren't able to make any strong conclusions, which is what we really had hoped to do, between the online versus live treatment. We obviously would like to do that at a later time where we could get a larger N for the electronic. Obviously, there's some limitations just because of licensure issues and the way that that service has to be delivered. But we were able to draw some conclusions based on the results of the intake and 6 months. And we did find that people were in a better place in terms of positive results 6 months post, which is good to know. that the responses of the surveys, their outcome measures, were positive at that point. And again, we have information in the article, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I really want to move on to the validation. And if you have questions about the exact study at the end, you can for sure ask us that. So the current project we have, which is another Night Alert project, is 5 years, and we've just finished our first year. And we basically are working with a national advisory board that's made up of VR, mental health, and people in other social services areas with expertise in deafness. And then we have an expert panel made up of a combination of people from the same area, but also with expertise in the area of assessment. And the process we're using is very similar if any of you have been involved in validation projects. We're doing the forward translation, the back translation, cognitive debriefing, field testing, and then we're not yet at the psychometric evaluation phase. For the field testing, we're going to be reaching out to 300 people who are not receiving vocational rehab services and 150 people who are receiving vocational rehab services. So for those of you not familiar, there really are very few, if any, assessments currently available in written English that have been successfully validated in American Sign Language and are being used out there. So for those of you who aren't familiar with it, basically I use our little cows to explain that our goal is really to go from our original language of English into ASL. And I just took a couple examples. One of the instruments we're using is a career assessment called the ONET, which is an interest inventory portion of it. It's a 60-question computer-based instrument. And I just wrote a few very simple examples. We have a whole group of people who try and figure out the best way to come up with ASL glosses that will then be used for video clips before we go to back translation. So just a very simple one. In English, teach an individual an exercise routine, an ASL gloss, teach person how exercise. This is very simple. Obviously, they weren't all simple, which is why we don't have a lot of things that have been translated. Then we go from our American Sign Language, and we have people write down in English what they're seeing in American Sign Language. This is what our website looks like, and you can see that all of the different instruments that we're going to be using, there's 8 of them, are listed. And a person, we have 30 native signers doing the back translation, and what they would see would be the person, which is up on screen, that they would click on, and they would sign the statement, and then you would write down in English what you see and any comments, so if something wasn't clear. And then this is all compiled and analyzed through a database, and then we're able to take that into an Excel spreadsheet and find for our reconciliation issues that came up with the back translation. Here's an example of what it might look like. This is from the Beck Depression. The Beck Depression is quite challenging because there are 4 responses for each of the 21 questions. So plus you have the Likert scale of 4 responses. Everything has to have a video clip. It gets to be quite challenging coming up with the terminology. The word discouraged, I'll just point out briefly, and I won't take the time to talk about it, but think about how you would explain or expand discouraged. There isn't one sign for the word discouraged, so you can imagine all of the different things that we have to go through to try and meet the majority of people's needs. Another question from the Rosenberg, I feel I'm a person of worth, at least on an equal plane with others. The concept of worth, quite challenging. And then the satisfaction with life actually has 7 possible options. So trying to make sure with facial expressions that you distinguish between slightly agree or disagree, strongly agree or disagree, and agree or disagree. So a lot of nuances, which is why we don't have a lot out there because of all the challenges. So then the reconciliation. This is just a quick example. If we look at one question from satisfaction with life, in most ways, my life is close to my ideal. You would want to have the concept of almost perfect, is what that would mean. And I've highlighted in red some of the things that came out. Some people said satisfactory, some said okay, some said adequate. That's really not what we would want to see conceptually. Some of these we've retaped multiple times. The Beck Depression Inventory, we're on our 3rd retaping to try and get it as close to possible before we go to the next phase. which is cognitive interviewing. Cognitive interviewing is where you meet one-on-one and you go through all the possible nuances. You basically have the person do the back translation, so tell you what they're seeing in English, what they saw in ASL in English, but then go through very specific non-verbals, the understanding of the meeting, the clarity of the signing, and make determinations if you're going to revise. And then finally is field testing. So of the different instruments that we're using, we're doing the audit, we're doing the DAST, which are substance abuse related, we're doing the GAIN, which is behavioral and substance abuse related, we're doing the riot directions, and we're doing the Beck Depression Inventory. There's 8 of them. So we're ready to go into field testing with the GAIN, which is just getting ready to start. We're working with 4 states' VR consumers, Georgia, Kentucky, Ohio, and Oregon, and then we'll be looking for 300 non-VR consumers. And people can participate in one or all. If any of you know of people that might want to be interested in participating in the field study, be sure and let me know. They will be compensated for their involvement. And I'm going to turn it over to Jared.
I want to start off talking about open source programming. So when we first started down the path of doing accessible surveys in American Sign Language and doing them web-based online, we had to write all of our own code, which is extremely time-consuming. We were very lucky that in the few years after we started, the open source programming community around the world got together and started doing more and more survey development for us. So for those of you who don't know what open source means, that means that if you download the program, not only can you get it for free, you can use it, but you can make whatever changes that you need. So for us, that meant adding a language. So we wanted to be able to choose an English survey or a Spanish survey or a French survey, and it's the same survey, the data goes to the same place, but you can select the language. They, of course, didn't have one in American Sign Language, so we had to add that option. What is particularly exciting for us now is that we're also starting to give back to the open source community. So we're in the process of working with some very smart programmers in Germany to include American Sign Language as one of the options that you can upload videos to and do on the survey. So if any of you wanted to do a survey in American Sign Language, you'd be able to download that program and not have to go through all the work that we went building it and making it all work. One of the things that we all talk about is accessibility, and accessibility can mean more than just having a website that works with a screen reader or having videos in American Sign Language. We also have to think about accessibility as it relates to where people access the internet. So some of us do all of our computing on a desktop in our house. We may do it on a laptop when we're out in a park somewhere. For many people, their only access to the internet is on a tablet or a phone. So we wanted to make sure that what we were doing didn't require you to have a particular program that you downloaded, and it didn't require you to be on a particular operating system. It needed to work on Macs, it needed to work on Linux, it needed to work on a PC, but it also needed to work on any of the mobile devices, a tablet or a phone. One of the challenges with making all of these things work on tablets is that you just have a lot less real estate. So if everything I'm accessing is on my phone, it's very small. So I want to use all of that space to show the video of the person signing the question. That means that we have to think about how we film that question. We can't have someone referencing things on other places on the screen because they'd be pointing off of my phone to something else. So we have to go through and discuss that with every question that we film. It also needs to work on different phones. So it's not enough to have an app that works on an iPhone. It also has to be something that'll work on an Android phone or a Windows phone. And for that reason, we did everything web-based. That means that we have to think about people's internet connections. Like we're going to have them pull everything from the internet every single time. They can't download 8 videos at a time and expect it all to work. What we've done is done some things in the background. So if we have videos like the Satisfaction with Life Scale where it's downloading 8 videos, the first video downloads and plays, all the other videos start downloading in the background so they're available to you by the time you get there. But there's a lot to think about when you're figuring out how to make those work that way. There's a quote on the bottom, and it's sort of our working mantra, is if it doesn't work everywhere, it doesn't work yet. So when you're figuring out how to do these things online, it has to work on your phone, it has to work on your laptop. If someone's only access to the internet is on a 10-year-old PC running 3 years out-of-date web browsers at grandma's house, it needs to work there. But it also needs to work on my phone. Some of the videos that that we adapted were more challenging than others. The BDI offered us a lot of excitement. So if you see a paper version of the BDI, it's only 21 questions. It looks very simple. You can go through it and just check what you like. But if you want to watch it in American Sign Language, all of a sudden that 21 questions is over 100 videos to watch, and it takes almost 40 minutes to watch all of them. So something that was once a brief screener is now a lot more time consuming. So some of that, if you're thinking of doing this for yourselves, you want to choose what instrument you're doing and what's going to work the best for you. I think I only had, was I down to my last minute? Okay. Well, then the only other thing I'll add is when you're doing web development for surveys, the exciting thing about using open source software is that it doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to all of us. So if any of you are thinking of ways that you can do your own development, you can do that. It doesn't cost any money. And as we start to give back to that community, we're making products that anyone can go and download, so you don't actually have to have somebody on your staff who can write all the code for themselves. But it's good to learn how to do that anyway. Okay. Oh, yes, I can.